The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
A week and a day until the first round of the NFL draft right here in Chicago. And there's a schedule to talk about as well. So we have a lot to discuss for the next hour here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good evening, hello, and welcome. Zach Zaidman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller with you again for the full 60 minutes. The schedule is out. It begins September 13th at home against the Green Bay Packers. Just the third time in Bears history, and they've been playing football since 1920, just the third time that the Bears will open up at home against Green Bay.
And it surprises me because it's such a high-profile interdivisional game, and maybe you want to see what the Bears are right out of the box. The unique thing about this game is Aaron Rodgers is going to come here with such an understanding of his offense. 100% of the time, he knows where every member of his offensive team is going to be according to the play calls and that play he calls in the huddle. The big question for him is, he's not going to have any idea where the Bears' defenders are. So it's going to be about his responsibility to know his offense to make sure that the guys are in the right place so he can get them the ball when they're going to throw it, obviously, a lot. But it's also going to be a big question mark for 10 of the other guys outside of Aaron Rodgers to make sure they're correctly identified, which each of their assignments are, according to pass protections that sometimes you leave the quarterback on an island. So I think it's a really unique matchup for the Bears because they're playing against an experienced team. But again, the Green Bay is not going to know anything about the Chicago Bears defensively, and you're not going to get a lot of signs of it throughout the preseason.
The Bears have two primetime games on the schedule, November 9th, Monday Night Football at San Diego, difficult place to play, and then Thanksgiving night, for the first time in Lambeau Field history, there's going to be a game on Thanksgiving. Bears, Packers, you think about the rich history of these two clubs, and that's something that's never been done before, Jim.
Yeah, it's tough, and it's on the road, and it's up in Lambeau. And, you know, just my thoughts on this, at least, you know, that opening week, you're going to know where you stand. I mean, that's a team that was in the NFC title game a year ago and felt, yeah, I don't want to say gypped, but by their own doing, losing to the Seattle Seahawks. So the Bears are going to be battle-tested early. You're going to know where you stand. You're going to know what areas that you need to improve very early because you got Green Bay, Arizona, and then at Seattle. Are you kidding me? That's no joke of the opening 3 weeks for the Chicago Bears. And then you throw in Thanksgiving against a playoff team in Green Bay. So they are going to be tested early and certainly know where they stand as a football team.
Jim, let me put you in the shoes. Let me put you in the cleats of Aaron Rodgers. So now you're getting ready for that first regular season game against the Chicago Bears. Are you going to prepare by watching San Francisco tape from last year, or what little information you're going to get from the Bears throughout the preseason? And that's going to be an interesting investigation for Aaron Rodgers. Like I said, he knows his system, but he's not going to really know what the Bears are doing with the new coordinator.
No, good points. You're going to probably study a lot of defensive looks and what San Francisco did and what you project of what the Bears are going to be. And it certainly is going to be under a lot of what Vic Fangio has done. He's going to take the good things that San Francisco try to implement them with the Bears, and it's going to be about studying those looks for Aaron Rodgers. Then you're going to factor in not all of the preseason, probably carry more weight, as we always mention, with the third preseason game when you're just breaking down the tape, looking at the starters and where they project the Bears starters to be on game day. The opening week. So I think that's what Mike McCarthy will focus on. I think that's what Aaron Rodgers will focus on. It's normally about looks, and then they'll start to get into the tendencies. Hey, down and distance, say third and short, you know, we expect blitz. Third and long, you know, Vic Fangio, he goes more coverage, and they'll try and anticipate, but it certainly will be a new look for Chicago lining up in a 3-4. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is going to have to prepare for.
One thing I do like about the schedule is the consistency with noon starts. But the two high, you know, nighttime games, San Diego, love going to San Diego, playing Monday Night Football, a lot of fun, great trip, warm weather at that time of the year. And then when you play Green Bay on Thanksgiving night, there's going to be a lot of emotional appeal because of the Brett Favre retirement of his jerseys. Right. But sometimes that emotions adds a lot to the other team. You can't guarantee anything what the factors are going to be at that nighttime Green Bay game. But I'm enthusiastic about the San Diego Monday night game because love going into that stadium and playing on the natural surface.
Something that stands out to me, did you guys know that when Vic Fangio was in San Francisco as the defensive coordinator, 4-0 against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, including two playoff games. What did they do? Was it all personnel?
What do you mean? I thought that was Colin Kaepernick running roughshod.
Well, you tell me.
Wasn't he getting like 190 yards rushing against the Packers defense?
That's a quarterback answering question.
But I do. When you look at the teams, and there are very few of them that have had success against the Packers in the Aaron Rodgers era, San Francisco's one, Seattle's another, and they both have something that Jim talked about, that power running attack where you limited the ability of Aaron Rodgers to hurt you with his ability to throw the football. He wasn't on the field, and when he's not on the field, that other team isn't scoring touchdowns.
No, it's a great point, and that's, again, what we've stressed, and that's what, you know, Coach Fox has talked about is complementary football. You know, when you go into a game and you know you've got great guys like a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers or a Drew Brees or a Peyton Manning, when you're facing great quarterbacks like that, what is tell yourself, how do we minimize them getting on the field? How do we steal a series? How do we keep them over there longer than what they're usually able to do, the damage that they do? So you minimize the possessions is what you try to do. You know, it's as crucial as coming down to the coin flip. Do we want the ball or are we giving it to them right away? You know, you got to think about every single element because those guys are lethal. They're lethal with the football. And I think John Fox has a history of doing that. And I think Vic Fangio and his success says a lot about it, too.
Let's find out a little bit more about the new Bears offense. And joining us right now on the show is the new Bears center. He played with John Fox with the Broncos, played alongside Peyton Manning, was with the current Bears offensive coordinator Adam Gase in Denver, talking about center Will Montgomery, who joins us now on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Well, we don't know much about what the new look Bears offense is going to be like. What can you share with us as to what this thing's going to look like when the regular season starts?
You know, that is a good question. I know we're going to run the ball. We're going to pass the ball. We're going to put up a lot of points. You know, Adam Gase, you know, and obviously Coach Fox and, you know, and obviously Coach Magazoo, the offensive line coach, you know, all those guys do the last 4 years in Denver is they win ball games. You know, they won a division out there 4 years in a row. So, you know, we're just looking forward to winning football.
You know, Willis Tomp there, a fellow offensive lineman with the Bears. You know, bringing a center here that it has experience in that system, I think that's the way you expedite the learning curve of the offensive line. In this terminology, is everything stated in the terminology in the huddle call, and then when you go to the line of scrimmage, you'll be able to organize the offensive line in the right direction? I do think that will speed up the learning process of the offensive line.
Yeah, you know, I hope so. You know, we do have a lot of similar terminology from last year. You know, they've added things to the install, and not everything is 100% the same, but, you know, there's a lot of carryover. You know, I'm looking around the offensive line room and seeing some studs in there, you know, like Bushrod, Slauson, Long, Mills. And so definitely it looks like a good group in there.
Well, Jim Miller here. Congratulations and welcome to coming to Chicago. Great organization. And just, I don't know, a little insight on Adam Gase, man. He seems intense, man. Maybe just talk about how he interacts with you players, the expectations of how he wants things executed and how it normally unfolds on game day because it's been extremely successful out there in Denver under Adam.
Yeah, you know, I think he's an exceptional coach. You know, he's always asking the players for, you know, what their favorite run play is here, or, you know, he's always talking to the QBs and receivers and seeing what their favorite pass play is. So he does use a lot of player input, and if we want to run a play in a certain situation, you know, he'll come to us and we'll suggest the play, and then he'll call that play, you know, when it counts. But he does take a lot of player feedback. You know, and he mixes it up a lot, and, you know, so he's definitely well-organized and knows what he's doing.
visiting with new Bears center Will Montgomery here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. It's easy to accept and listen to your players when your quarterback is Peyton Manning. What did you learn from him playing alongside maybe the best that's ever played the position?
You know, Peyton was definitely well prepared and, you know, and held everybody accountable, you know, on the practice field and the game field. And, you know, that guy knew anything that was going on the grass, he knew about it. He knew what all the O-line calls were. He obviously knew where the running back and the tight ends blocking assignments were in protection. You know, if the receiver wasn't running the route the way he wanted it, you know, he coached the receiver up. You know, if the wide receiver's coach was talking too much in meetings and we couldn't hear the old coordinator talk, he'd tell the wide receiver's coach to quiet down a little bit. Or so anything that was going on in the building or on the grass, you know, Peyton had his hands on.
Hey, Will, you're 32 years old, seventh round pick. What's your secret for sustainability? Because you've been with a couple different organizations. It seems like centers don't get the respect that they deserve nowadays in the NFL. But here you are with, you know, signing with a new team, a new head coach, basically a new organization, not a new organization, but the whole change over here. What is your secret to sustainability in the NFL?
You know, it is a grind, but, you know, it is something I love. I love the, you know, the preparation of it. You know, being with Coach Fox, this is actually my third team I've been on with Coach Fox. You know, he drafted me in Carolina and then, you know, playing with him in Denver and now with the Bears. You know, and I had, you know, my stretch run there with the Redskins, you know, primarily with the Shanahan era. But I feel like playing the center position, you know, you have to know where the mic is at all times, setting the protection in the run game and the pass game. And earlier in my career, all I wanted to do was lift heavy weights and squat and bench. But as the years went on and you get nicked up here and there, it's really all about, you know, flexibility and staying healthy. And, you know, that's what it comes down to, is just knowing the plays and the proper technique and just staying healthy.
Well, Will, Denver was a great example last year with what you guys accomplished as an offensive line. Obviously, what Dallas did, what Seattle typically does with Marshawn Lynch. But you guys had the mojo working, man. You know, C.J. Anderson was in there. We know Peyton Manning had the thigh injury late in the year, and you got that run game cranked up. And what I'm wondering is, because obviously you're capable of doing it, because even with the one day in pads, which is mandatory with the new rules in the NFL, talk about how you guys got it rolling with the minimal opportunities of maybe live 9-on-7 with how you were cranking the run game with C.J. Anderson in the middle of the year with Denver. What made it work in your mind?
You know, he was definitely a great back, you know, hitting it downhill. And, you know, it was the efforts of the O-line and, you know, and Coach Gase and Coach Magazoo and Coach Fox and all being committed to it. You know, early in the game, you might have a run that gets 1 yard or maybe even a negative yard run, but that doesn't mean it's a bad play. You know, Coach Gase would go back to it. You know, we would say, you know, somebody had a silly mistake or something, just to go back to that run. And, you know, and I think, you know, making a committed effort to run the ball definitely helps out and opens up everything else in the pass game. And, you know, a lot of successful teams these days, you know, can run the ball.
Our final few moments here with new Bears center Will Montgomery on Bears All Access. Will, the schedule has been released. Anything stand out from a player perspective when you took a look at it?
You know, it's not like college where you can say, oh, this one's easy or this one's easy. You know, they're all hard, even when you're going up against a team with a poor record. You know, you just look across from you and say, oh, well, there's three Pro Bowlers on the other side I'll be facing. So, I mean, there'll definitely be exciting games on there. You know, a couple of the Green Bay games stand out, obviously the opener, and then the one, the Thanksgiving one, and, you know, and all the rest of them. It's hard to pinpoint very many, but, you know, it's going to be very exciting.
Hey, Will, does Coach Magazoo have a style that you would kind of coordinate with him, or does he kind of morph to whatever type of defense you're playing?
Well, I mean, he just wants to put us in the best opportunity to be successful. You know, obviously, if he had, you know, his say, we'd be running the ball all day long. But
very
obviously,
good.
You know, this is a passing offense, so, you know, the passing league. So, you know, his style is doing whatever it takes to win, and, you know, and I think that's what's made them successful.
Let me ask you this, Will. How do you learn to hate an opponent. You know, you played for Washington. They hate the Dallas Cowboys, Washington Redskins fan. You played for Denver. I don't know. Who was it? The Raiders that you guys disliked the most? Chiefs. Yeah, obviously that's a big rival. And, you know, how are you going to get to learn? It's a friendly hate. Let me be honest here, because it's the most storied rivalry in football. How do you learn to hate the Packers, Will? How do you get that down?
You know, I'm sure I'll learn real quick. You know, I have played the Packers several times over my career. You know, when they won the Super Bowl a few years ago, Washington was actually one of the last teams to beat them. You know, when I was playing with the Redskins, I remember beating them. You know, and if you look across the league, there is a lot of turnover with players, which is, you know, a lot of those guys keep getting recycled through. So I'm sure following the media and whatever else, I'll learn to hate them real quick.
Yeah, you don't need a scouting report to pick that up. Will, congratulations on joining the Bears. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Will.
All right, thank you.
Will Montgomery, the new Bears center, spending some time with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Let's take a quick time out. When we come back, your reaction to what you heard from Will Montgomery in regards to the Bears offense, and who has the advantage early on in the season? Because you have a bunch of players learning a new offense, but the rest of the league has no idea what the Bears are going to be running. So advantage goes to, well, we'll find out next with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Want to remind you, the Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petruni and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And I'm told that this week on Inside the Bears, Matt Slauson receives a special honor from his teammates. Super Bowl champ Otis Wilson is keeping Chicago students active with his after-school program. Inside the Bears, again, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My 50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. Zach Zaidman, we've got the 85 Bear Tom Thayer alongside the former Bears quarterback Jim Miller here on Bears All Access. And one of the things that I find interesting is anytime you have a major change with a coaching staff and their new systems being installed, and we just heard from the new Bears center, Will Montgomery, no one quite knows what the Bears are going to run, and that includes the players on the Bears offense. It's going to take a little bit of time for things to kind of get going the way they need to. The rest of the league isn't waiting, though, but they don't know what you're running. So who has the advantage, Tom?
I don't know. It's, you know, it's going to be difficult. I think initially the Bears defense will have an advantage because you can be aggressive. You can, you know, on the snap of the ball, you go to the right place. And the offense is kind of confused because they've never seen the Bears in the history line up with that style. But then offensively, we don't know anything. We sit here and we talk to all the new players coming in, the free agents, offense and defense, and we don't know the coaches that well. We have no idea what they're thinking. That's what's going to be so interesting about the early development when they go from the weight room and then transition to the field. And finally, when they get an audience, that's the first time you're going to have a reaction of what the Bears are hopefully going to do when the regular season gets here. But I think right now the only thing we know is that when we get a flip card, the defense is going to be a 34 design defense. Anything else we don't know.
I just think with who the Bears are facing, it's, you know, those are all veteran quarterbacks. Green Bay, week one, Aaron Rodgers. Week two, Carson Palmer. We expect to be lining up. That's a veteran quarterback. And then Seattle, four-year quarterback in Russell Wilson, where it's not his first rodeo and he's settling in on his NFL career. And they're all talented teams, so they will make adjustments. I mean, they're going to be playing the guessing game. Hey, they haven't showed that. It's something new, and they're going to try to anticipate. But those teams can adjust, and they're too good not to adjust. Those are all three playoff teams, so it's going to be hard to fool them, in my opinion.
We're a few moments away from playing Ask Tom at 312-644-6767. If you don't know what Ask Tom is, it's real simple. Call up that number. Next segment, we go rapid-fire phone calls. Anything in the world of football, fair game for Tom Thayer. And Judge Jim Miller sits back, listens to all of your phone calls, and at the end of the segment, the best caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. 312-644-6767, the number to play Ask Tom. The draft is coming. That first round is coming for the Bears. They have the 7th overall pick. There is no one. And you hear Jim when he's talking on Sirius XM on NFL radio, and he's talking about time and time again. Every single day, it seems like the landscape of that first round, that top 10, is changing. But I got to put Jim on the spot here. Who are the Bears taking at 7?
Well, I think it's going to be determined. I think we all anticipate there's going to be some trades up there at the top. I think it starts with Washington at 5, where they potentially, hey, they could even trade up to 2, in my opinion, with Tennessee in order to acquire a quarterback. So that's normally, because what does that do? When normally those type of trades happen, it kicks guys down the line. I'm not saying everybody anticipates the quarterbacks to be taken, because they will. But I also think that there could be trades for other guys that we're not even thinking about. So there's always going to be that curveball, and it starts to push good players down the line. I'll give you a case and example. Bears are in the top 10, but like last year's draft, you know what somewhat was the curveball in last year's draft? It was the Detroit Lions at number 10. Nobody anticipated them taking Eric Ebron, and he was the tight end out of North Carolina. And here's why. Granted, he didn't have a big impact year one for the Lions, but here's why the Lions took him. The Lions felt like that if they got one more first down towards the end of games in 2013, that they could have finished games off with their offense. You know, as Tom Thayer talks about, 4-minute offense, running the clock out. That's where the Lions felt that they failed. And nobody in their mind had them selecting a tight end. They already had Pettigrew. They already had Fourier. Remember, Fourier was catching touchdowns everywhere. Nobody had them taking a tight end. But then what did it do from picks 11 through 20? It threw everybody off. Then what happened was, you look at the Rams. They ended up with the kid, the Pitt defensive tackle. That guy was unbelievable.
Aaron Donald.
Was unbelievable. And you talk to Les Snead, the general manager of the Rams, or Jeff, they said, no way in hell we had a shot at Aaron Donald. Lo and behold, the Lions make that pick, and everything was thrown off kilter. But, so, in my opinion, something's going to happen where a good player may fall, and the Bears could trade up, trade down. That's always a possibility to make that happen.
Do you still think Mariota's going to go number one, Jim?
I do.
What's going to happen with Winston? All right, if Mariota goes one, what is going to happen to Winston?
I think Washington needs to think about trading up and getting him at number two.
If you're right, I'm going to buy you a bottle of champagne.
Then I slap the fifth-year option tag on RG3, and he's available to be traded too.
I like it. He still didn't give us an answer, though. If he were the Bears general manager, who would he take at 7?
Maybe I'll give you the answer on the other side.
All right, I like that. A tease courtesy of the former quarterback. Jim Miller is here. So is Tom Thayer. We play Ask Tom next. 312-644-6767. Best caller in the next segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority right here on Bears All Access. Brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Super Bear Shuffle 5K Run takes place on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Find details and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Sabin. We are mere moments away from playing Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We go rapid fire with your questions for Tom Thayer. Anything in regards to the world of football is fair game. At the end of the segment, Jim Miller will pick a winner. Best caller of the segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. But before we start the game, ask Tom at 312-644-6767. Finally, do we get an answer from GM Jim as to who, if you were Ryan Pace, what would you do with that 7th overall pick?
Well, it's never a straightforward answer. It's just how much they love the players that they have on their list. And I've got 5 names that I would project. For Amari Cooper, the wide receiver who I love out of Alabama, I think they have to trade up to acquire him. But if they feel that strongly about him and have a conviction and you're able to do it, you've got a negotiating partner, I think that's a possibility. I think there are 2 pass rushers that are on their list. Vic Beasley out of Clemson needs to be on it. He's an outside linebacker. And I also think Randy Gregory drops like a rock out of Nebraska. And I think Alvin Bud Dupree out of Kentucky is in the discussion. We've talked about Danny Shelton, the big D tackle out of Washington. I would throw in Trey Waynes, the corner out of Michigan State. I think that would be an upgrade in terms of you kick Tim Jennings in the nickel and then you line up with Trey and the young Kyle Fuller on the outside. The other name I'll bring up, if they don't want to lose the compensation up for Cooper, I think Kevin White is in the discussion as well. Wide receiver out of West Virginia. Everybody's going to say, well, hey, they just added Eddie Royal, but they traded away Brandon Marshall. But these guys got skills now. I've talked to both Amari Cooper and Kevin White, and I know we're thinking defense, but you cannot not ignore those players and what they could be in the National Football League.
You know, when I look at Amari Cooper, he reminds me of Joey Galloway, and the way he looks and size and everything, and I think the expectations for Amari Cooper, I think, are more than he's going to excel in the NFL for some reason. I don't have the feeling that coming out of Alabama with the surrounding talent, the supporting cast offensively and defensively and special teams, the ability to be on the attack more often than be on the advance. That's the one pick that makes me a little nervous.
Well, I mean, if you look at who Atlanta drafted out of Alabama, Julio Jones is not too bad, and Amari Cooper, Galloway, there's no doubt he could stretch the field. I get everybody from general managers that he's the next Reggie Wayne. And why is that? He's smooth. He's played all three positions. X, you can move him around. He's the mismatch nightmare. You can put him at X, you can put him in the slot, and you can put him at Z, and he's well coached. So that's what the comparison everybody's been using is Reggie Wayne. But, man, Joey Galloway, that guy could glide,
right?
How he could run those routes. There's no doubt about that.
Something to think about before we start Ask Tom. Just remember, the Bears wide receivers coach right now is a guy named Mike Rowe, who was Nick Saban's top recruiter at Alabama and actually ended up bringing Amari Cooper to Alabama. So he knows everything there is to know about that guy. And he worked out Kevin White when it was West Virginia's pro day. It was Mike Rowe who actually ran the workout. So there's extra knowledge there in regards to these receivers.
It's interesting. When I talked to Kevin White, here's what I love about this kid. The kid's just a worker bee. You know, he's one of those kids who's had to work for everything he's got. He's a JUCO transfer. Nothing was given to him. And in terms of measurables, this guy is big, strong, and physical. That is a no-nonsense guy, and I came away very impressed with Kevin White.
It's time to play Ask Tom. 312-644-6767. We're going rapid-fire, nonstop. Your questions for Tom Thayer in regards to the world of football. At the end of the segment, the best caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. Let's begin the festivities. We'll start with Jay in Huntley. Jay, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Jay.
Hi, guys. My question for Tom is, what is your fondest memory of number 55, Doug Buffone?
Oh, man, I guess so. I mean, we will get into Doug Buffone at the last segment of the show because it's too lengthy just for one answer. But, Jay, I like your question, and we are not forgetting about Doug in the least. He's a great man and a great person in my eyes. We'll talk more about him later.
Our next caller, Waukegan, Mel, asked Tom.
Hey, Mel.
Hey, Tom. My question is, given the new schedule that just came out and the defenses we're facing, and Jay Cutler led the league in interceptions last year, do you see John Fox putting a short leash on Jay, or is Jay going to be our quarterback throughout the season?
Well, I think that's John Fox and Adam Gase. They are both going to evaluate Jay's performance every single practice, every single day, every single meeting, just like every other player in there will be. And when you're starting out an organization and making some major steps forward, yeah, you're going to have productive quarterback play to get this thing moving in the right direction. So do I think he's going to have the luxury of throwing double-digit interceptions? I don't think that will be the case. I think when you do have a new coaching staff, top to bottom, you're getting evaluated every single day until you earn that Pro Bowl position or someone else plays better behind you.
As Tom rolls on with Don in Wheaton.
Hey, Don.
Hi, this is actually John.
Oh, sorry, John, sorry.
I have a two-part question. The first part, and they both regard defensive scheme. Is there a defensive scheme where speed is so much more important than any other attribute? And I'd like to understand why. And then the counter or the subsequent question is there a defensive scheme that better transitions players as they go through their NFL career where diminishing skills are overtaken by experience and therefore that you don't see a setback in their performance?
Well, you know, you see a guy – maybe Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs in the later stages of their career, when they moved a lot on instincts before the ball was ever snapped. And that's knowledge from just the years of service you had playing in your defense, studying other defense, studying the personnel you're playing against, and making sure that you're in the right position according to the huddle call each time. But you have those little instincts that can get you in the direction faster when you're an older player. But schemes and pass rushing, if you have pure speed, Von Miller, some of these guys on the outside that can get forward quicker than a tight end, an H-back, an offensive tackle can retreat out of their stance, get in an organized position, deliver an efficient punch forward, but by not stopping or losing their feet. When you have, when you're blessed with great speed, Quinn from the St. Louis Rams, a couple of these guys, they are so fast that it puts pure paranoia into the head of the offensive coordinator and every blocker and the quarterback when the person's on the backside of the pass blocking scheme. So, yeah, speed can be a definite weapon within this scheme.
I love the detailed answer. Northside, Bill, ask Tom.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, I'm going to ask you an O-line question. With the Bears and everyone kind of talking about Kyle Long possibly sliding over to right tackle, does that mean that the Bears are going to look at a guard in the second, third round, or do a guy like Victor Ducasse just get plugged in there at the right guard spot?
Wow, that's an interesting question. You know, Bill, I think Kyle is best fit to stay on the inside because of the power bases of the lot of defenses you're going to face. Whether it's a 34 defense with a huge nose guard or a four-man defensive line with a dominating interior defensive tackle. And I know Ndamukong Suh is gone from Detroit, but they did bring in Haloti Ngata, which is another 350-pounder. So I think strength against strength and athleticism and power, Kyle is in the right spot. Now you have to think, how do you develop the exterior of your offensive line, either with the candidates you have, or maybe there's a guy out there that Coach Magazoo believes that he can develop over a period of time, and you take a look at a little bit later in the draft. But I think with Kyle, Will Montgomery, and the other interior prospects they have, Slauson, who's a big, huge, strong guy, they could have the interior of the offensive line that could compete with anybody inside of any defense.
Our final few contestants, a gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line as we continue to play Ask Tom. John in Huntley, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, John.
Yes, I had a question. Since they didn't use Forte that much last year, do you think Mr. Foss will be running a lot of inside zone or outside zone plays? We don't have that big of people on the front line unless we get a couple of them on the draft. But I just wanted your perspective.
You know, it's going to be interesting what route Matt takes this year because he will have to be more physical if they intended to hand him the ball a little bit more because he caught so many passes last year. He does have the good outside instincts to help set up his exterior blocking when you have offensive linemen and pulling blockers out in front of you. He does a nice job of that. But a commitment to the inside running game, it's going to take a matter of being strong in your lower body, the willingness to lower your shoulders, and give more of that burst run like Seattle, Marshawn Lynch. When you see him explode in the tacklers and you see him combine that 2, 3, 4 extra yards, that's a mentality that you have to have as an interior running back. And, you know, Matt has all the qualities to do anything. Catch, block, run inside, and run outside. But again, it's going to be the combination of the right play called at the line of scrimmage, the offensive line being organized, and Matt seeing the scheme unfold in front of him. Because it does take more than just running back instincts. You have to have the knowledge of the offense in front of you.
Marshawn Lynch reminds me, when you went to Super Bowl Media Day with the 85 Bears, did you just go there so you wouldn't get fined, or did you actually relish the experience?
No one really talked to us, so it didn't matter. You know, we just kind of, you know, sat there until our time was up.
Geneva, Chuck, ask Tom.
Hey, Chuck.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Tom, as a former offensive lineman yourself, and you know all the intricacies, whatever, of the offensive line play, what does having Will Montgomery in there help as far as everyone adapting to the new offensive scheme, and how did you adapt when you were a rookie based on the experience of the other linemen?
Well, you know what? I was fortunate to play with some really, really intelligent offensive linemen. I think Keith Van Horn, Jay Hilgenberg, and Jimbo and Bortsy, they were all really smart offensive line, and Kurt Becker, because we had it drilled into our head by our coach Dick Stanfeld in meetings just repeatedly. So it's all about your assignments. You cannot make mental errors because you cannot compete. But when you're having five guys trying to learn the scheme that one guy already has a kind of a little basis of an understanding, every time you go there and you have to have an organized direction of your protection done properly, Will Montgomery can always put the offense in the right spot. And I think that's the key element here, because he's calling out the responsibilities for about six or seven guys that are involved in the pass blocking scheme, and the backside guy understands that he's got the most difficult assignment being away from the direction and have a one-on-one. But Will Montgomery can always take making sure, just reconfirming in the heads of these other offensive linemen that I do have the right assignment, I do have the right understanding. In the more correct you are, the faster you can play.
The 10 minutes are up. Time to pick a winner.
Good luck, Jim.
Well, it's definitely tough. There's no doubt about it. But I do think it's going to go to Mel and Waukegan. Talked about the schedule and interceptions, and will that put a short leash on Jay Cutler? Here's what I'd say. I'd say the Bears want to throw it when they want to throw it, and they want to be able to run it when they want to run it. Ties into the running back. You look at where John Fox has always been, always big running back. Steven Davis, you look at what Denver had last year. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears draft a bigger running back later in this draft also.
Mel in Waukegan, congratulations. You win the gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of our guy, Jim Miller. Another great edition of Ask Tom. Coming up next, sad week for the Bears. We'll share our memories of a man who always ended up putting a smile on our faces. Doug Buffone next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. With over 50 chances to win, the Bears Draft Insider Sweepstakes is your best way to claim amazing prizes, including a chance to see the NFL Draft live. Enter now at chicagobears.com/draftinsider. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We lost Doug Buffone this week, a guy who played more games in terms of a regular position than anybody in team history. Patrick Manley is the only guy who's played more. And you guys played the game. You know how hard it is just to make yourself available every single week. That, in its own right, says everything you need to know about Doug Buffone, the football player.
Right. You know, you also have to think about the time that Doug played in. Because, you know, we lived through the Mike Ditka time, and, yeah, you had it tough and everything. But then you go back and you look at the era that Doug played in. You go back, you look at the length of training camp, the length of the season, how physical every single day was. And, you know, being a Bears, again, I always say I'm born in Chicago in 1961, and you're a Bears fan from that moment on. And Doug is one of those guys that you took pride in the Chicago Bears, because if they weren't a great team, he was a great teammate. He was a great player. He gave effort every week. And if they were losing, there was always a couple of guys that you could really attach yourself to, because back in the 60s and stuff, it was a hero worship thing. If you did aspire to be a football player, you looked at the guys in your own backyard, and that was the Chicago Bears. And for the time that I started recognizing football, and then I started recognizing certain members of the Chicago Bears, and Doug was one of the best personalities, because he looked it. When you looked at Doug through a face mask, he looked the NFL. He could be the logo. And then having a chance to be around him and doing radio shows with him and just being social with him, I felt it was such an honor, because I admired him so much on a football team that wasn't great, but he was always great. And that was the thing that I liked about Doug, the football player. But I admired him more seeing Doug in the afterlife of football, because he was such a quality guy to everybody that wanted to shake his hand, and that's what I admire most about Doug.
Yeah, just to echo what Tom said, one, a great person, great individual, and as Tom mentioned about the records, Doug Buffone played to win. That guy competed every single down. I'm going to win this down because it's important to me. I mean, that's how he approached it. He's old school. I tweeted it out that he's just old school. He wore his emotions on his sleeve. Always well respected. His teammates speak highly of him. I've met Doug. I love the guy. And I think what it just tells you, you know, here he passes away at the age of 70, and football's such a big part of his life. And he spoke passionately about it long after he was retired. And he knew everything about the National Football League. You know, when the Bears are playing the Green Bay Packers, he's throwing out stats on Aaron Rodgers. It's important to him. He loved the game of football. He gave his life to it. So he'll be sorely missed. And he's an extremely funny guy.
The stories were unbelievable, Jim. You know, I hosted with him right before the Super Bowl. And you mentioned how he followed today's NFL and was dialed in. He would come in to work and he'd have this legal pad just filled with notes. You know, most people carry an iPad now. Even Tom, he's with the modern technology now. But Doug was old school. He had his legal pad and just filled with notes and interesting little statistics and things that he wanted to make a point of in regards to the game today on the air. And he had a way of telling stories about yesteryear, but making them relevant today. What a guy.
He's a tremendous guy. I love listening to him and Big Ed. When I would get done at CSN, I'd pop on the radio as I was driving home to Michigan. I listened to him and Big Ed Obradovich, and it was golden. I mean, those guys are special. It's a different era, as Tom mentioned, but those guys certainly haven't lost their passion, and he will be missed. I mean, I loved Doug Buffone.
What's interesting is the players of today, they get in their cars after home games, and they tune in. They'd listen, especially even if things got ugly at Soldier Field, and that's when they were at their best. Both Doug and OB, they'd listen. They knew what was being said.
Right. You know what's great about Doug and OB is because they had so much invested in their friendship, but they were also invested as football players, and they were invested as lifers. And Jim and myself and all these guys that have everyday attachment to football in some way, shape, or form. My brother's coach in high school, my nephew's coach in high school. But then you look at the friendship that has been forged by those two guys, and I listened to OB's reaction after the announcement of Doug passing away, and it makes you think about our future and about the friends that we met when we started playing football that are still our friends, and 30 years after the fact, they're as close today as the time that we are in the locker room and getting ready for games. And that's what I was really struck by OB. And, you know, his able to express his fondness for Doug, but everybody else. And, you know, how you're remembered is so important, because everybody is just saying such glowing remarks about him.
Here is what Bears chairman George McCaskey said in a statement in regards to Doug Buffone. Quote, "He will always be celebrated as one of the Bears greats for his contributions to his team and the fans who loved him. There was no one tougher on Sundays than Doug Buffone, and he proved it each week over his 14-year career, a 10-year record he shared with another great, Bill George, for 33 seasons. His retirement ended a link to our founder, as he was the last active player to play for George Halas."
That's historic in the case of the NFL, because everybody knows what George Halas means to the NFL, and now when you are connected with a guy like Doug Buffone, it's the purity of the NFL.
And that was phase one of Doug's life. Phase two was the guy that people used to hear blasting through the speakers of the radio. And George McCaskey went on to say, quote, "It drove him nuts when we didn't play well, and we always appreciated that he wore his heart on his sleeve because we knew how much he cared. Doug's passion for the game of football and the Chicago Bears was unmatched, and he will be missed." And I think it bears repeating, if you go back to the press conference at the end of the season by George McCaskey, when he talked about the Bears needing to return to their identity, that identity was forged by players like Doug Buffone.
Toughness. You got to have tough football players that care. From a person like Doug, it's personal. It hurts Bears fans every bit as it hurts Tom. It hurts myself when the Bears go through a season like they did last year. I mean, it's personal. It's more to that. There's great people in that organization. Tom and I have talked about it enough, that work extremely hard. And you got to have a lot of pride. And the Bears have a lot of pride because they've got a lot of rich history and tradition to back it up. And players like Doug Buffone are the definition of it. So represent. It's really what it's about.
You know, it's great, too, is even reading some of the comments of Dick Butkus. Because when you have a legend on your football team like Dick Butkus, and for Dick Butkus to recognize what a great player Doug Buffone was and what a great contributor he was to the NFL in Chicago, that's a great Mark, too, because Dick Butkus has a lot of respect for Doug Buffon, and it's really important to be respected by the guys you're playing with.
It's a sad week, but Doug would say, stop yourself.
Right.
That's what he would say. Stop yourself and start smiling. And if he was able to, he'd transport a joke to make us all laugh in the way that that voice and the arms moving around. Oh, man. Doug Buffon, we miss you. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Everyone. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. During the break, we continue talking about our memories of Doug Buffon. And my favorite Doug story that he would share many times on the air, his first game with the Bears was a preseason game against the Packers, I think in 1966. And he happened to make a tackle right along the Packers sideline. So he falls down and Vince Lombardi comes over. And I'm paraphrasing the way Doug would describe it. And Doug starts laughing when he talks about it. And Vince Lombardi would lean in and started smiling, and his yellow teeth were kind of shining. And that's what Doug was looking at. And Lombardi says something like, Buffon, huh? That's Italian for clown.
That, you know what? That's a badge of honor for the opponent coach to know the name of a first-year player for the Chicago Bears and then recognize him. Hey, Vince Lombardi, thank you.
Yeah, we could go on and on and on about Doug Buffon and all the different stories that he used to share with us, but we have to say goodbye. Next week, we will join you on Sunday, May 3rd, right after the NFL draft, and we'll break it all down because we're going to have a completely different perspective in regards to the Bears after next weekend. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.